Welcome to the Sales Chaos Theory Podcast, the go-to audio experience for navigating the ever-evolving landscape of sales conversations. Hosted by the dynamic duo Tim Ojai and Brian Lambert, this is your invitation to dive deep into the world of value communication like never before. In a market flooded with unpredictability and constant change, Sales Chaos Theory is your guiding light, offering insights, strategies, and the much-needed clarity to help you find the patterns and thrive amidst the mayhem. This is Sales Chaos Theory, where we make sense of the complexity in the market and help you lean into it to rise above the fray and land more deals. Let's dive in.
Hey, once again, we are doing another executive buyer interview, and today I'm talking with my friend Jonathan. Jonathan has recently switched roles and even companies, and because it's so recent, we're actually going to explore his last role as the category VP for a major. Jonathan, welcome. Jonathan, could you tell us a little bit about your role that you had previously, just at a high level, kind of describing what it was like and what you did?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was responsible for a $4 billion P&O with a major grocery company. Basically managed suppliers, managed relationships, and managed the sales of the organization and the EBITDA. Everything from what product goes on the shelf to where it goes on the shelf to how much funds I collect for a promotion to, you know, all the people involved and the processes involved.
Great, cool. And in that role, you were working with a lot of familiar companies. I think for the average person, even if they're not in that industry, they would all be familiar with all those brands that they kind of more or less consume on a daily basis. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the way we do this, we always have three kind of core questions, and then you just have to endure the fact that my ADD can kick in at any moment and I can ask you extra questions on top of something you just said, only because it's usually interesting or I just need better understanding. So the first question is, we're going to talk about the pressures and trends that you have to deal with. So when you think about the previous role you had, what kinds of pressures and trends affected you the most?
It's a great question. I think the biggest pressure internally is always what's the number, right? So what number do I have to hit? And it's usually a profit number.
Right.
But there's also a sales component with that, because in order to get the bottom line, you got to get the top line too, or at least it makes that a whole lot easier. So there's the internal, you know, P&L that you have to hit. I think on top of that, especially being an executive, you're trying to prove your worth to the organization and that you're adding value. So you're championing initiatives to support, whether it's an emerging trend, like in the food industry, the growth of natural and organic products, or, you know, non-GMO foods. You have to show that you are changing the landscape of the business, and those metrics are going to be metrics that you're trying to achieve as well. I think on top of that, there's a million different KPIs that you could look at, or key performance indicators, to show how you're gauging there, and everyone's going to have a different take on it. But then the pressure that you have with that is, internally, there's a lot of, you know, lobbying and politicking to make sure that the people with the power within the organization are making sure that you're hitting your number, and that you're showing them not only that you're hitting your number, but you're telling them the greater story behind the number and where you're going in the next 3, 5, and 10 years. But I think externally, there's also pressure, because you've got to look at your competitive landscape, and you've got to look at trends within the organization, but you've also got to look at trends outside of the organization that at some point could have an impact. Like, I came from the grocery industry, you know, so you have CPG or consumer packaged good companies that you're working with, and while technology is not a major play there, technology can absolutely disrupt the grocery industry by their innovation and advancement. So you're kind of having to keep a pulse on the business world, in a sense, to make sure you have an understanding of what's the latest and greatest thing coming out, and are you prepared, or at least better prepared than your competition, to exploit that to grow your business.
So it sounds to me like there's a lot of work trying to navigate or exploring what your consumer is doing, who's shopping at your business, but also then how you try to forecast that out literally 3, 5, 10 years out to try to get ahead of those trends And you have to become an advocate for that navigation so that you're not only trying to understand, but you're also trying to press or change what your company is trying to do strategically. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think what's really important to understand, you hit on something that's key, is you have to listen to the customer. And while your strategy of your organization may be to go one way, if the customer is going a different way, it's very, very, very important for the company to be able to adapt and adjust their strategy. And if a company is not flexible and willing to adjust their strategy, they're going to lose share, and ultimately they're not going to last. And so starting with the customer, and sometimes that's the reason that internally it could be so difficult to change a strategy, is because the customer is going one way, but some executive wants to go a different way. And having to, you know, the data point to show the executive leadership team, hey, this is not what the customers want or where the customers are going, that takes insight and tact.
Wow. Okay, cool. All right, so let's just dovetail right into the second question, which specifically gets into the kinds of problems that you have to navigate most often. You laid out a landscape that's very complex. It's got a lot of moving parts. It's got a lot of stakeholders and politics. And even if it's not politics, it's still personality. Most often in the role as that VP.
So I think the problems that you know I have to face most are people problems, and it's not necessarily you know, people are bad or anything like that. It's you know, getting everyone on the same page in a communication, and it's the decisions that people make, because gosh, recently I read a book called Team of Teams, and it really talks about General Stanley McChrystie and how he you know, changed the landscape of the U.S. military fighting the Taliban, and how he was getting reports from leaders within the organization, but he wasn't getting feedback from the ground up. And it was the folks on the ground who needed to know what was going on so they could make empowered decisions. And what I found in my personal experience is that if not everyone understands the mission, and if not everyone understands the reasons why we go to market and why our strategies are our strategies and how they help us differentiate, they're not going to make the most empowered decisions. And so to get everybody from, you know, your CEO down to your data entry specialist, their clerk, or your store clerk or your bagger, to understand what is the strategy, what role do they play in fulfilling that strategy, it's hard to get everybody because the business world is changing so quickly. And sometimes there's, you know, you make 500 decisions before lunch. How do you communicate that downhill or uphill or, you know, to the side? And I think all the problems that I've encountered have to do with somebody not being on the same page of some business decision somewhere, or not understanding the full picture. And that's led to a poor decision. And then I come in and trying to help that situation wherever I can, if that makes sense.
Right. So, yeah, totally. So you're really talking about the biggest problem is executing whatever it is you agreed to do. So it's not so much around, hey, this is a good idea, let's buy it, or let's do something to fix it. It's actually the implementation aspect of whatever decision you make, which is a series, a long, probably month or months long series of further decisions that have to be made. And that's the part you're saying is the hardest to navigate. Is that right?
Yes, I think so. I think in addition to that, even though I may make a decision today to, you know, grow a part of my business, do all the people who touch that part of the business know that I made that decision? Do they all understand the reason why that decision? Do they all support that decision? And do they all own their role in helping that decision grow? And so getting everybody on that same page is oftentimes a longer process and a difficult process.
Got it. Okay, so we're going to keep this thing moving, and I'm going to go to our third question, because I could actually just sit with you and talk and on that last topic literally for hours. But let's go to the third question. The third question is, when you think about salespeople and their attempts or even efforts to connect with you, it's a two-part question. We're going to start with a negative. What's the worst thing a salesperson can do when trying to connect you. And then we're going to set it up and then we're going to go to the positive. But start with the negative first. What's the worst thing a salesperson can do?
Okay, so this is a really easy question for me. There's two things they can do that are really bad. They can try and sell me a product and they can read off of a PowerPoint. I don't have time for either one of those. What I want them to do, and I'm kind of asking the question for you and answering it, what I want them to do is, I don't even want to talk to them in the first place because I've just got so much going on. If somebody's going to call on me, I want them to listen to the problem that I have and then based off of their working knowledge of my situation and their working knowledge of whatever they're trying to sell, tell me how they can solve my problem.
Now, okay, so you're using a word that has been a lightning rod for some folks, and that's the word problem. Do you really consider it a problem when you're talking internally with your own team members and trying to get things figured out, or do you call it something else like opportunity?
I use the word problem. I mean, obviously, sometimes in the right setting, if there's a CEO in the room, I might use the word opportunity, but 99% of the time, I'm going to call it what it is, and it's a problem, and it's a problem that needs to be solved. So rather than talk and debate about what the right terminology is, there's an issue, let's fix the issue, and let's move forward. Because the business world is changing so fast, and I don't think people understand. I mean, we're in the information age right now. We're out of the industrial age. Information is available at people's fingertips, and technology is developing at a rapid rate. We need to be able to move quickly. We do not have time to waste talking about, you know, semantics of language. So I call it a problem, and it's a problem. So it's preventing us from accomplishing our greater goal. So what are we going to do to fix that?
So when somebody comes in and just, you know, stops playing games and just uses your language and then starts to try and talk about it, are there any special insights you have for them that actually help you want to listen or engage them further about the problem?
Yeah, and I would liken it to going out on a date. Rather than talk about yourself, like, get the other person talking, right? Like, listen to what I have to say. And through that, you're going to hear what the problem is. And then use that and weave that with the information that you have to come up with a solution. And I'm totally okay if you don't have a solution on the spot. But if you were to come back to me in a couple of weeks and say, you know what, I was thought about a conversation, and I have something that I think might work for you, and I think I can help you with that, I'm much more apt to listen than someone who's trying to sell me something I don't want or need.
That's awesome. No, that's great, great insight. Real fast, I just want to give anybody who was listening, that was the book Team of Teams by General Stanley McChrystal. And Jonathan, I got to say thank you so much, man, for taking time out of your already full day to talk with this knucklehead and help us as a profession understand and even serve our executive buyers better. I really appreciate it.